Welcome to Travel Itch Radio, brought to you tonight by the best western Palm Beach lakes in West Palm Beach, Florida. This is the show that lets you scratch your lust for travel from the friendly confines of your home. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, along with my good friend, co-host Anita Stokes-Thomas. Every week at this time, we bring you inside the world of travel, from hotels and tours to cruise ships, planes, trains, and things you can eat on your trip. Listen live on iTunes or blogtalkradio.com, or check out the show later on Facebook on blogtalkradio.com or on my website, danschlossberg.net. And we're waiting for our special guest tonight, Tony Mua, owner-operator of A Slice of Brooklyn Bus Tours. While we're waiting, Anita and I will talk about what's going on in the world of travel. Anita, where's your next trip going to be?
Well, my next trip is out to Las Vegas, but Dan, I really want to tell you about something exciting that I just did, if I can share that.
Okay, that's great. Go ahead.
I just got back from the RV convention out in Salt Lake City. And I don't know if you've been to one of those conventions where it's just hundreds of RVs of all different types, sizes, shapes, levels of expense, because there were some really fancy luxury ones that I was told can cost as much as $450,000. But it was really fascinating to be there. I was there for a couple of days to check out what's new, what's trending, what's coming out in 2019. And it was really fascinating just to see all of the different options that are out there for people who really like the RV life.
That sounds terrific. So how many people were there roughly?
Oh, well, it's trade. This particular show is trade only, and I didn't hear the exact numbers, but my guess would be probably around 300 or 400. It may have been more, but I was only there for a day and a half. But I'll tell you, I mean, there was so much excitement around it, and you know how huge those exhibit floors can be. So a large crowd can seem like it's not too large and get lost in those huge exhibit floors. But it was really fascinating. You know, they have 9 categories that they are putting the RVs into. And they have a category called sustainability. Who knew that RVs could have a sustainability side to them? And then van life, for those RVs that look a little bit more just like a van and people drive around in those. Then luxury living, like the $450,000 one I told you about. Cityscape, and then they're also looking at a category called On the Horizon for things that are coming up in the future.
That sounds terrific. And where's your next trip after that?
Okay, I'm going to Las Vegas because every year I like to go out to what's called the Travel Goods Association's Big Show. And at that show, it's like all of the things that you really think about when you're getting ready to go on a trip. So it could be everything from suitcases to, you know, those socks that you wear on board to make sure that, you know, you keep your legs kind of in good health to, I mean, oh, just name it. Those little containers that are TSA size. I mean, it's everything that you can think about when you're getting ready to go on a trip is included in the Travel Goods show. So I'm going out to that because I always like to see what's new, what's exciting around travel gear, because it's so important to make sure that you have those things so that you can pack more efficiently, travel a little bit easier, and with not so much stress. So it's a good show to attend. So I'll be out there.
When you go to Las Vegas, do you always stay in the same place?
No, I kind of go. It's a good question. I'm laughing because I really kind of go on price. You know, Las Vegas can be all over the place. I mean, you can find hotels as cheap as, you know, $20-$30, and still be nice hotels, by the way, up to, you know, $600-$700 a night. So I really do in Las Vegas look for the deal, but it's still got to be a nice hotel. So it has to be a nice one. Got to be at least 4 stars.
No, I agree. Yeah, I agree. And Las Vegas is so big. When I was there for the baseball winter meetings in December, I stayed at Luxor, and I had to get to Mandalay Bay. And there's actually a tram that goes from Luxor to Mandalay Bay. It's amazing. And you still have to walk 4 or 5 miles a day.
Yeah, there's a lot of walking, and you're right about that tram. That tram is really convenient for getting you around that, you know, that area of Las Vegas. And if you want to, you can still always walk down on the strip, because that's one of the things I like to do is I like to people watch when I'm there. There's so many kind of interesting characters, maybe we call them, that you can see on the street. People dressed in costumes and those kind of things is what I'm referring to. But also some interesting people as well that are coming out to definitely party and have a great time. So it's definitely a people-watching city. But, you know, Dan, the other thing, too, is that the culinary scene in Las Vegas has really gotten pretty good, too, because so many of the big chefs, the celebrity chefs, are choosing Vegas as one of their spots to open restaurants. So you can really eat good out there, too.
Oh, that's good to know. I didn't know that. I've been to a few of the buffets in Las Vegas, and I do remember waiting in line quite a long time.
Yeah, well, you can't beat those buffets. I like those, too, especially the Chinese food ones. I somehow seem to enjoy those, especially when they have seafood on them.
Yeah, that's
so
for sure.
So definitely thumbs up for
well,
that.
My next trip is Monday. I'm going to baseball spring training in Florida. And I'm going to West Palm Beach and Jupiter and Orlando. So I'm going to see a whole bunch of different teams, lots of people I know, and eat at restaurants I'm familiar with, and stay at some very nice properties, too. So that should be a lot of fun.
Well, now, do you get a chance to actually interact with the teams when you go to that? Because I know you are very well connected with baseball. So do you get a chance to see some of the players and that kind of thing, too? That sounds real celebrity sighting excitement.
Yeah,
you know, seeing some
it
of that.
Is. It is. I have media passes from the teams that I cover, and you also get to see a lot of celebrities who come down to see the games. For example, John Goodman is a big St. Louis Cardinals fan, and I once saw him sitting in the stands at the stadium in Jupiter where the Cardinals train.
Oh, really? Hmm.
And years ago, I met Sammy Davis Jr. I was sitting right behind him at a game.
Now, that would be really exciting. Did you tap him on the shoulder and say, "Hey, Sammy, I'm Dan"?
Actually,
did you do that?
I was with my daughter, Samantha, who at that time was very young. And between innings, I said, "Sam, meet Sam."
Oh, that's too funny. That's cute.
Yeah, that was great.
I haven't been to one of those. I think that would be really exciting. Now, you know I'm not a huge sports fan. I wish I knew more about it. But I think I could really get into that, just seeing the players and seeing how they prepare and get ready for the season. That would be really exciting to see that.
It is. The atmosphere is so relaxed and casual because the games don't count. These guys are all signed to contracts already. The games only count for rookies who are trying to make an impression and get their first job, or veterans who are trying not to lose a job. They want to hang on. Mm-hmm. So for most of the players, it's very relaxed and casual, and it's much easier to get autographs during spring training than it is during the season. For one thing, the ballparks are about one-fifth of the size. During the season, the stadium might hold 50,000 people like Yankee Stadium. But the spring training park where the Yankees play in Tampa only holds about 10,000. So it's about one-fifth of the size, and everything is just on a smaller scale. Where the Boston Red Sox train, I love that ballpark. It's in Fort Myers. They have an exact replica of what's called the Big Monster, the Green Monster, and the scoreboard, which is a hand-operated scoreboard. Very old-fashioned, but it's called a Little Fenway because it looks like Big Fenway in Boston.
Yes, all of that sounds so exciting. I would love to see that. I just never think about that. But, you know, the other thing, Dan, too, is that this is making me think about that when people are trying to put together their vacations and trying to decide where to go, you can really think about your vacation with a theme to it. So, like sporting events. You know, we think about going to sporting events. We don't think about those as vacations, but you can make that into a vacation, see the sporting event, see things like, you know, the training camps, and still check out the restaurants and some of the other attractions in that area as well.
Oh, for sure. Definitely. Well, that's what I'm planning on doing. There's a really good seafood place right on the Intracoastal Waterway called Sailfish Marina. It's in Riviera Beach on Singer Island, and it doesn't have any sides. It has a roof, but it's totally open air and has a little boardwalk in front, and the pelicans go right on the boardwalk there. The boats come in with their fresh catch, and it's beautiful at sunset when I have dinner there. So I'm looking forward to that. I eat there every single year, and I've gone down there every year since 1971.
Oh, yeah. Well, that must be a favorite of yours, then. You are frequenting it quite often. Sounds like. And I love seafood, too, so I think that would be top of my list as well. And I love the way you describe no sort of walls there, just completely open. I love that kind of thing.
Oh, it's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And I think you and I are going to meet up a couple of times. You're going to Syracuse for NASDAQ, right?
I am, and this will be my first time going to Syracuse, so I will be looking for things to do and things to see because I'd love to also come back and produce a show for my radio show as well about Syracuse because I think it's one of those places that people hear about, but you don't necessarily think of going there on vacation. So I would love to share with people what there is there to do and see. Other than just the college, because I think people are certainly associated with that, but just all of the fun things that they can do, and you don't always have to go to New York City to have a nice time in New York.
Oh, for sure. But even closer to Syracuse is Cooperstown, home of the Baseball Hall of Fame. So that's worthwhile seeing to a very historic museum. In fact, this is their 80th anniversary. It opened in 1939.
And it's still operating. That's amazing.
Oh, big time. It's going better now than it ever has. Really, really worthwhile. And after that, I guess we're going to be together in Anaheim, too, a couple of weeks later, right?
Yeah, there's so much travel that's coming up around that time. Yeah, Anaheim, I'm really looking forward to that. I always love any time I can get out to the L.A. area because my niece lives out there. And whenever I go out for work, I always add a little extra time for some family time so that I can see her because she's like my daughter, kind of. And when I get a chance to hang out with her, she plans a really nice itinerary and maybe things we've already done before, but it's just great to be out there doing them with her. So I've already let her know that I will be coming to Anaheim, so start planning that itinerary so we can have a great time.
And it's really funny because I have cousins who live in Beverly Hills who are actors, and if you're familiar with the show Suits, which is on USA Network, Gabriel Mock, who plays Harvey Specter, the star of that show, is my cousin. So I'm planning to see.
I didn't know that.
I'm planning to see his parents and probably stay with his parents, and hopefully he'll be out there if he's not filming when I get there, and so that should be good. And I told him that I'll be out there at the end of IPW, which stands for International Powwow, the world's largest travel convention with 5,000 delegates, and I'll be out there on June 6th, which is the longest day, the anniversary of the longest day from World War II.
Oh, okay. That's another great reason to celebrate something while you're out there. Well, I hope your cousin's there, too, because there's something really cool about being able to combine travels and trips and things like that that we do with family. It's kind of like a little mini family reunion that we can have and include in our vacation. So it's always good to do that.
And as far as the Syracuse trip goes, I'm a graduate of Syracuse University, but I have not been back for 50 years. I can't wait to see what's changed.
I'm sure there's a lot of changes on the campus in 50 years, Dan.
Well, that's probably true, but some of the pictures that I've been looking at on the NAJDA website, and by the way, NAJDA is North American Travel Journalists Association, some of the pictures look very familiar. The old university buildings are still there.
Well, you'll have to show me around and tell me some of those stories of some of the trouble that I'm sure you got into while you were there at Syracuse. Did you get into a lot of trouble on campus there?
Oh, yeah, quite a bit.
You have to share all
quite
of
a bit.
That.
Well, just, you know, putting out the daily newspaper late at night and you get back at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, that was a lot of fun. Especially when you get to go to the printers.
Well.
And it was the old hot type paper. I was there when they transitioned from hot type to cold type, and that was very interesting to be there for that time.
Yeah, I can't imagine. So you've been in journalism a long time then. So you worked on your
50 years.
College
I started
newspaper?
In 1969. So it's 50 years. But I'd be glad to show you around Syracuse. But I definitely accept that invitation to do that. That'll be fun.
Well, it certainly will be fun. I think it's always great when you can check places out with people who know it really well, locals, and folks like yourself who maybe attended college or school there too. So it sounds like a plan. We will definitely do that together.
Okay, and next time you go to
Definitely.
Hawaii, I'm coming there.
Oh, you must come to Hawaii. I know we talked about it last week, but I could talk about Hawaii every show, Dan, because it is becoming really my favorite place to go. It kind of started off as my husband's favorite place to go, where he likes to take his annual vacation. But each time we go, it's like I have what I call the vacation blues, because I'm kind of sad for a week. I can't believe I'm not there anymore. All the good food is gone. And I'm just kind of in a slump when I get back home. So I'm already planning for 2020 to go back out. So I'm ready. So come along. You got to come.
Okay. And if anybody is tuning in to Travel Itch Radio right now and you're wondering what became of A Slice of Brooklyn, we're wondering the same thing because my friend Tony Mua must have had an emergency at the last minute because he didn't call into the show tonight. So we're going to reschedule Tony Mua probably for March 28th, I'm thinking, because that is an open date so far. And, you know, we'll see if that works out for Tony Mueller, because he's a fun guest. He's been on the show several times before, and he's got a lot to talk about. There's a lot going on with the Slice of Brooklyn bus tours. Anita, anything you'd like to say before we close it out for tonight?
Well, I'd just like to say I'm really looking forward to Tony coming on, and I too am a little concerned, hope everything is okay and everything is all right with him. But I'm excited to hear about this because, again, here's another area. We're talking about New York and Syracuse. There's another area of New York that has so much to offer, and we want to make sure people know when you head up to New York, all these great things you can do in the Brooklyn area.
Yeah, that is true. You know, when I was a kid, Brooklyn was run down. It was not a great place to go. It was a slum. Many areas of it were a slum, but it's really gentrified now. It's come back, and it's a great place to go. In fact, there's an area called Dumbo, which stands for Down Under the Manhattan Bridge Overpass, and it is just great. And Tony Mueller takes his tours right through that area, Dumbo. You know, it sounds like a flying elephant to some, but it's a beautiful part of Brooklyn to others.
Yeah, see, all of those kind of things we want to make sure that the listeners hear about and know so they can put them on their list and make sure they check them out when they're in New York. And speaking of tours, too, Dan, I'm sure you're the same way, but I'm a big fan of taking a tour. Some people say, well, I don't want to be on there with other people. I like to do my own thing. But it's really a great way to get a good sense of the cities that you're visiting, and then you can go back and check out things on your own and do your own kind of personal tour after you do one of those big tours with someone who knows where everything is, like a Tony.
Yeah, very much so. Anyway, before we go, I want listeners to know that the Best Western West Palm Beach Lakes is a classic Florida hotel. Built more than 50 years ago, it has a retro feel, but ranks number 9 out of 35 local hotels listed by TripAdvisor. Home of a manicured courtyard, it features a picnic area with gas grill for guests, a heated pool, waterfall, an outdoor chess set, and shuffleboard. The hotel's within walking distance of Palm Beach outlets with 150 stores and 7 restaurants. Guest rooms have small refrigerators and microwaves. Also included are deluxe continental breakfast and free parking and Wi-Fi. That's the Best Western Palm Beach Lakes. That's in beautiful West Palm Beach, Florida. Tell them you heard about them on Travel Itch Radio. And that's it for this edition of Travel Itch, an abbreviated show, unfortunately, but we'll get Tony Mueller on again and let you know. Next week, we'll warm up in Florida with two guests, one from Reunion Resort in Orlando and one from Hawthorne Suites, West Palm Beach. Same time, same station, same hosts. Now, this is your host and writer, Dan Schlossberg, speaking also on behalf of co-host Anita Stokes-Thomas, saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night.
Right.